Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus says, you make me sick. You're not hot. You're not cold. I can't get therapy from you. I can't get refreshment from you. But because you've taken and mixed Christianity with the world, and you're a church that is so politically correct that now you're not theologically correct at all. You are so loved by all men. Beware, Jesus says, when all men speak well of you, for you're no friend of God.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7. You know, time has a way of changing things and changing people. Time certainly has a way of affecting the church, but what happens when the church no longer has any influence? You know, there are churches that are not living for Christ, and they're dangerous spiritually. We've come now to the most sad and tragic letter of the seven letters in the book of Revelation. The church at Laodicea was pursuing wealth and proudly existing in their own strength. They knew of Jesus, but they didn't know him personally. The church at Laodicea was the only church that Jesus had really nothing good to say about. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we take a closer look at ourselves, are we a Laodicean believer, or are we truly a blessing to Jesus? Are we someone who Jesus would want to be around, and are we seeing ourselves the same way that Jesus does? And now in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus was trying to provoke them to repentance. I will violently project you out of my mouth, is what the word means. You will come flying out of my mouth. Have you ever seen that happen when somebody drinks something normally like too hot? Or like I did a couple weeks ago when I got a cup of orange juice in between services and it was rotten. That's it. You're not hot. You're not cold. How about this? Want to put in context? How about we go get some hot cocoa and it's cold or lukewarm? There's nothing worse than lukewarm coffee. Laodicean coffee is lukewarm coffee. Some restaurants, they're bent on serving Laodicean coffee. How about this? How do you like lukewarm milk? I'm on a diet, you know that. Lost 16 pounds, praise the Lord. Celebrated last night, had three or four chocolate chip cookies. That was okay, but you know what the best part was the ice cold milk. If it was lukewarm, it'd be, I don't even want the cookies, right? It was the milk that made the cookies. Don't give me something lukewarm. None of us appreciate that. Jesus says, you make me sick. You're not hot. You're not cold. I can't get therapy from you. I can't get refreshment from you. But because you've taken and mixed Christianity with the world, and you're a church that is so politically correct that now you're not theologically correct at all. You are so loved by all men. Beware, Jesus says, when all men speak well of you. For you're no friend of God. Boy, I know. This is going to generate mail. That's great. Read your Bible first, then mail me. Lukewarm. Jesus says, I hate it. They were lukewarm in worship. How does that sound to you? I tell you, if you're a worship lover, I love to worship God. Lukewarm worship's impossible. You know what it looks like? Looks like this. I can only imagine. Why is the ceiling black? I wonder what that's black. It'll be like when I can only imagine. What's on the walls over there? Lukewarm worship makes Jesus sick. Makes him want to puke. Lukewarm Bible reading. And Jesus said unto them, I got to change my oil in my car. I wonder where we should go on vacation this year. Anyway, by now I should be down to about verse 6. Anyway, verse 7. Lukewarm Bible reading. Somebody's in line at the grocery store and says something like, you know what, life is just too hard. God says to you, tell them, go on, open door, whoop, 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 open door, do it, tell them, that's an open door, tell them. It's too bad somebody's not around here to tell them about God. Lukewarm witness. Lukewarm. You say, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. When we take a closer look at ourselves, are we seeing ourselves the same way Jesus does? He says to the church at Laodicea, you say that you're rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Look at the following verse. Because of what you say, he says, I tell you the way that it is, that you're poor, miserable, blind, and you're naked. They were a proud church. They were conceited. And they were a church without Jesus Christ. It's almost hard to believe. One commentator writes in his book, are you ready for this, church? Everybody, are you listening? This is serious. One commentator writes this, that in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought they rather served themselves, and it was known because they became very proud of their ministry. Any Christian, any church that is proud of their ministry. You know, I haven't been on our website in a long time, but I'm going to go look after service, and if it's this way, we got to change it. I know that we've had construction updates with the construction stuff. Construction's over. We need to fix that. If it's still on there, we need to take it off. Because you know what? That could easily be construed by somebody that we're proud. Why is it that a church has got to have a picture of its building on the front of its bulletin or its pamphlet? What's that all about? Proud. Thankful. Maybe thankful. But watch out for pride. We can give glory to God, and it's a fine line when we begin to take that glory to ourselves. I cringe when I hear ministers and church leaders say, my ministry. I cringe. I hear it all the time. Well, in my ministry. Whose? In my church. Whose? Proud. Jesus says, that makes me sick. The Laodicean believers used the word like God and Bible and Jesus on Sundays. There was no place for that vocabulary anywhere else in the week. Jesus himself warned that this kind of a church would be in the last days. And I think we're living in that time right now. Isn't it something, church? I just want to touch on this and we got to go for time's sake. Isn't it amazing? Don't you find it amazing that that church said of itself, we are rich, we are clothed, we are so well that we have need of nothing. How do you match that church mentality up against the church in the world that's being persecuted? Did you get what I'm saying? How about this? Wealth and prosperity doctrine. Isn't it interesting that those who peddle that damnable heresy peddle it where money can be gotten? Are you thinking? Do you see them peddling that gospel in third world countries where people don't own a dime? If that doctrine's true, shouldn't they go to those poor countries and preach it and make them rich? We need to wake up. It's funny that that heresy is preached among where money can be gotten. You hear that in sermons in Beverly Hills and Orange County and those kinds of things. Why? Because money can be had. And it feeds the flesh. And it is wrong. And it is the spirit of Laodicea. Third point, verses 18 to 19. What kind of a church are we when Jesus challenges you and I to get right? You might say, Pastor, you're not doing much for church growth here. I'd rather be right than be big. We'd rather be deep than wide. May God judge our hearts. What kind of a church are we when Jesus challenges us to get right with him? Look at verse 18. We need to get right about our investments, church. Listen, our investments as Christians, as a church. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. You guys, this is a tremendous slap. They were the center for banking. They had the gold. Jesus says, excuse me, I counsel you to do what? To buy from me. gold. If they were not listening, they would say something like this: we have enough gold. What are you saying? Jesus says, you need to buy from me. You say, well, does Jesus sell things? No. Just like the rich young ruler who came up to Jesus, remember? He said, good master, what must I do to be saved? Now, did you hear his question? What must I do to be saved? Jesus gave him a very strange answer. Jesus did not say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's how a man saved. Jesus didn't tell him that. Jesus knew his heart and he said, I tell you what, here's what you need to do. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, and is that how people are saved? By giving money away and ministering? No. That man couldn't get saved until he would divorce himself from an idol. That's why Jesus used on him the Ten Commandments. The idol was his possessions. And Jesus says, go sell and give away all that you have, and then come and follow me. With that little admonition, what did the man do, anybody? He packed up his toys and he went home. He would have nothing to do with that. This young man, the young ruler, you could have found him and hundreds of his brothers and sisters at a church called Laodicea. A very, very warm and fuzzy prosperity preaching, ministry proud, self-righteous church. That was a Laodicean church. Investments in the things of God. That means our time. That means our energy. Do you know what that means, energy? That we do something for the Lord to the point that we're tired? Okay, listen. I never bring it up. I'll bring it up because it applies to the situation. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said you can either serve God or what? Money. How come he didn't say you can either serve God or sports? Because behind sports is money, ultimately. Jesus didn't say you need to serve God and business. He didn't say that. But ultimately, behind business is money. Isn't it interesting that God, who knows the hearts of all, said, you need to either serve me or you're going to serve money? Why? Because people, the Bible says, who pursue wealth and money pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They're children of a lesser God. The God of mammon, money. Do I spend more time figuring out what stock I'm going to invest in or how much I can afford this week or this month or go over what I can afford in the way of tithing? Think about it. Where are you investing? I will stand before God and give an account with you, you will too, for my time spent, my energy spent, and my finances spent. Does my checkbook dictate that God is the Lord of my life? Or do I only say I'm a Christian? We need to be investing because Jesus says, you need to buy from me gold. You need to make spiritual investments. Listen, he said when he challenges us to get right with him and his investments, not only that, to get right about accepting his advice, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, that you might have a white garment, that you might be clothed, so that your shame of your nakedness is not revealed, that you might anoint your eyes with eye salve. Remember, they were a medicine-based economy there as well. And they had world-famous eye salve that they put on the eye. Nope, their response was, we have need of nothing. Verse 19, we need to get right about our relationship. As many as I love, Jesus said, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. This verse is almost the most important verse in the whole study here. As many as I love, God loves you. This is not going to be popular. Are you ready? We're almost done, though. You'll be out of here soon. You'll make it. But this is not popular, but boy, is it right. Jesus turns to you and he says, you know what? I love you. And because you're Laodicean or you're going in that direction, I tell you what, if you'll listen to me, this is what I want to do. I want you to meet me out back in the woodshed. What? I want you to come out back because you're all messed up. I'm going to tell you what's right. You need to buy from me gold refined in the fire. That's You need to get deep as a Christian through suffering and trials. Okay? Then you'll be clothed. Then you'll be rich. And to get this into your head, because I love you, I rebuke you, which is what I'm doing now, and I chasten you. I spank you. And with that, a Sunday recreational Christian would run out of the building and say, I don't want to hear that anymore. You know, that, oh, that says hellfire, damnation, brimstone kind of stuff. And Jesus says, as many as I love, I discipline them like any good dad would. We need to accept his advice. We need to get right with the relationship. We need to spiritually invest. And then fourth and final point is this, and we'll be done. Verses 20 to 22, amazing. What kind of a church are we if Jesus Christ is no longer welcome? A Christless church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, eat with him, and he with me. I'm going to give you three of the most tragic verses in all of the Bible. Number one, Genesis 3:9. Then the Lord called out to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Tragic verse number one. Did God know where Adam was? Yep. Adam, you need to repent, man. What in the world were you thinking? I believe that Adam would have jumped out from behind the bush and said, God, forgive me. I don't blame it on the snake. I don't blame it on my wife. It's me. I did it. I shouldn't have. God, forgive me. I think God would have forgiven him right then. Tragic verse in the Bible, number two, John 1:10. He was in the world, Jesus Christ, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came, verse 11, unto his own. He chose the Jewish people, and they did not recognize him. Tragic verse number three of all the Bible, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, notice where Jesus is. It's a church with a steeple on it, with a cross on the top of it. And where's Jesus? Excuse me, does anyone hear my voice? He can't even get in. It's a Christless church. There's both an invitation and doubt in Jesus' words. Can anyone hear me? Is there anyone in there? Luke 18:8 says, when Christ returns to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? I will come in, verse 20 says, and sup with him, dine. The word depneo in the Greek means to eat the late night meal, to gather for the last meal of the day, to eat the meal before the new day dawns. Jesus is saying, let me in. One last final moment, I'll come in. Listen to his love. Church, we're almost done. Listen to his love. You, I'm not even in. I can't get in. If anybody will open the door, I will come in and I will eat with you the late night meal before it's all over and it all will be fine. Do you hear what he's saying? Let me in one more time, please. Can we get this relationship going again just one more time? He's talking to the Christian. Will you stop playing in the world? Just one more time, let me in. And I want to encourage you to get back into my love letter of the Bible and read it. And let me talk to you again in prayer. And I think I can change this relationship around if you just let me in. Will you let me in? Does anybody hear? And apparently the door doesn't have a knob on it. It's got to be open from the inside only. Are you a Christian this morning? And Jesus is on the outside knocking, saying, let me in. Come on. You keep doing your own thing. You're living your own life. Yeah, I know you go to church on Sunday, but it makes me sick. I want to be with you. You tell me that you love me, but you never spend time with me. You tell me that you care, but you don't listen to what I say. You give me this lip service, but I never get to be with you. And he says, please let me in. And he's doing that to some of your hearts today, Christian. I'm not talking to the non-Christian today. This verse, Revelation 3:20, is not written to unsaved people. It's written to the church. And Jesus says, I just want to come in again. I want you to stop being mixed and lukewarm about everything. To him who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne. He's giving them incentive. Come on. You want wealth? You want something? You're going to sit with me on my throne if you're listening. And as I also overcame and sat on my Father's throne. Put up with difficulty and suffering. It's not going to kill you. It's going to make you better. Stop being mixed. And get the Holy Spirit back in your life. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. I want to ask you this question in closing. Who really lives inside you? If you name the name of Jesus, if you're a Christian, who lives inside you anyway? Who's at home in there anyhow? As a Christian, could it be that Jesus is knocking? We need to rededicate our lives to the Lord before we go any further in this book. This is serious stuff. It doesn't give me any pleasure at all, and I'm only talking to those of you here at Calvary. It gives me no pleasure at all to be able to give a message like this, to know theologically, my hands are clean, you know? I've told you the truth, and think about it for a minute. Do you think I am impervious to the temptations in the head? You know, that's how the bills get paid. Pack this place out. You know how you pack a place out if you're going to do it without the Spirit? We're going to have fun things. We're going to have fun sermons. And you're going to be all excited for about 10 minutes about the happy thought I gave you on your way out. If it doesn't change your life, you want to know how I know? Because if I don't give you a Bible, and if I don't give you what Jesus says, life's difficulties are going to come. And when it comes, you have no foundation to grab onto for peace. So I am investing in the Bible, in your life, and you're doing the same thing, trickle-down theology, so that when things come apart in your life, they don't come apart. But if I say, you know what, next week you bring your friends and family, and we are going to have a sermon next week on how to build your self-esteem, on how to see yourself the way Tony Robbins sees you, this place would probably be packed. Pass the plate. Fill it up. Oh, yeah. Whoa, look at that income. We believe here that if we preach the Word of God, we may wind up on the hillside. We may wind up evicted, thrown out, who knows what. That's God's business. Is it not God's business? We live in an age of mixture, and it's time for Christians to stand. Be careful. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, that you would hear our cry this morning, that we would rededicate our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7. Thanks for listening today. We're really glad you're here. What Kind of Church Are You? Part 7 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, just from the truth we've discovered in the Book of Revelation, we can see how God's love is woven throughout every verse. God has an amazing inheritance waiting for us through His Son Jesus Christ, and He wants you to know all about it. Salvation is only possible for those who give their lives to Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure how to go about that, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that says Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll find the full meaning of what salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. There's even a way for you to email us and tell us all about your decision to follow Christ. Again, that's the tab labeled Know God, and you'll find it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.